This is the Paranormal Podcast with Jim Harold.
Welcome to the Paranormal Podcast. I'm Jim Harold and so glad to be with you once again. And I think we have a guest and a subject that you're going to thoroughly enjoy. But first, I wanted to tell you about some cool stuff going on. If you haven't seen it, please navigate over to jimharold.com and check out the new design. Now, the old design of the website that we had served us well for years, but I felt it was time for a fresh, modern look, easy to navigate, easy to find all the content, and that's what I think we have over at jimharold.com. So if you haven't gone over to jimharold.com, J-I-M-H-A-R-O-L-D.com, for a while, go over there. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised with what you see. And also, if you are a Plus Club member or interested in the Plus Club, but maybe before looked at it and said, well, I don't quite get it, go over there again over at jimharold.net because we've done a similar redesign over there, and I think you'll get an idea, a better idea, of all the content waiting for you over there. jimharold.com, jimharold.net, freshly redesigned, contemporary, easy to navigate, and I hope you'll check them both out. And I know that you're going to enjoy checking out this interview because it was a lot of fun. And here it is. When it comes to ghost stories or interaction with those who have passed on, I think some of the most powerful ones and most poignant ones are certainly those with loved ones. And we have such a story today. Annie Kagan is our guest, and she has a book out called The Afterlife of Billy Fingers, How My Bad Boy Brother Proved to Me There's Life After Death. And we're going to tell you a little bit about Annie before we get started. She began writing songs at the age of 14. At 15, she was signed by a producer for Columbia Records. At 16, she was performing in New York City cafes and clubs. After 10 years as a songwriter and performer, she returned to college, graduating with honors, and she became a doctor of chiropractic with a successful private practice on Manhattan's Upper East Side. Attracted to Eastern spiritual traditions, Annie studied yoga and pursued an intense meditation practice. Following her inner voice, she left her career as a doctor and abandoned her hectic city life in search of serenity in a small house by the bay on the tip of Long Island. She returned to songwriting, collaborating with Emmy and Grammy winner Brian Keene. When her brother Billy died unexpectedly and began speaking to her from the afterlife, her future took a surprising turn. She has masterfully combined her talents as a lyricist, performer, and healer in order to touch the lives of others with Billy's communications from the other side in the book that we just talked about, The Afterlife of Billy Fingers. You can find the information at anniekagan.com, but we're going to spend some time with Annie today. Welcome to the program. So good to have an opportunity to sit down with you a bit.
Oh, I'm really glad to be here with you, Jim.
So, I mean, we kind of went over the bio there, but so people kind of know your background. You've been a musician, a doctor, back to being a musician, and you had this interest in these Eastern spiritual traditions. But what was your view of the afterlife before all of this happened with your brother?
You know, I didn't think very much about the afterlife, but if I thought anything, it was that we kind of enter a sea of bliss. I didn't think that we kept our identity, but somehow just returned into a oneness.
Mm-hmm. So tell me where you were at in your life. I know we covered a little bit, but I want to hear it from you. Where were you at in your life right before your brother died? And then just kind of take us into what happened.
Right. Well, I really feel like my life, without my permission or my knowing, set the stage for me to have this experience. I had been a chiropractor in New York City with a very busy practice. And after some time, I began to feel quite stressed out from working with people who were in pain mm-hmm. all the time. And so I decided that I should learn to meditate to strengthen myself and to center myself. And I decided on a certain meditation practice. It had to do with inner light, seeing the inner light. And to my surprise, a strange side effect of this particular practice, which I did literally 2 to 3 hours a day, was that I became extremely sensitive. And instead of making it easier for me to go to work, it actually became harder. Hmm. And at the same time, New York City, life in New York City seemed really frantic to me and noisy. It was like hyper stimulus for me. And I made the decision to sell my practice and to sell what I had and to leave my life and to buy a small house by the bay. I had no idea exactly what I was going to do. I was pretty terrified. I thought maybe I'd go back to writing music. And soon after, my brother showed up, who had been missing for years, and he had many problems, many addiction problems. And after both of us trying very hard for quite a period of time, he died. And then the great adventure really began.
Why was he called Billy Fingers?
Yeah. Well, that was a name that Billy took at the end of his life. And it was kind of indicative of the darker side that he was living. And it really had something to do with the fact that when he was 16, he had left school and he had been working in a factory and he chopped off a little piece of one of his fingers. So one of his fingers was a little short. And I guess he just kind of liked that. And also he was a massage person, so fingers. But it was never a name that I liked. Because it always sounded like, you know, kind of a bookie or a pickpocket.
I thought maybe it was like a piano player or something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was just the name he picked for himself, mostly because of that little accident and because he felt he had really good hands.
Was he particularly spiritual before his death?
You know, Billy was always spiritual. The thing about Billy was he was definitely both sides of the coin. And the subtitle of the book is How My Bad Boy Brother Proved to Me There's Life After Death. And Billy was my older brother, and he always had problems with addiction. At the same time, he was a loving, free-spirited, play-by-his-own-rules person who loved people, who loved life.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very spiritual. And in fact, one of the things that he does in the book, he kind of takes me on a little treasure hunt. This is after he dies, to find certain of his possessions. And there were journals in there, I was shocked to find. And every single page was something that he wrote to God. And at the end of his life, even though he wasn't doing well, he was very, very connected to God. So, you know, when people would say to me, oh, you know, he can't beat his addiction because he just wasn't connected to his higher power. That was not true at all. He was very connected to his higher power. So he was a strange combination of things. And I think that one of the reasons the book is popular and one of the reasons people like to read Billy's words, because that's what the book is. It's a conversation. And Billy talks a lot about not just death, but a lot about life, is that people can really relate to someone who did have problems in life, who went through some hardship, who went through the ups and downs that we all go through, and gives really good suggestions for how to live a better life here on this planet we call Earth.
So Billy dies. Obviously, it sounds like it was something that was unexpected. After he died, maybe as much as you can, and I'm sure that even now that there's pain attached to it, but as much as you can, tell us a little bit of the circumstances after the death, and then when did these communications start happening and what form did they take?
Yes. Well, of course, when I got the news that he had died, I was completely devastated, feeling that somehow I could have done better. I could have somehow saved him. And I couldn't eat. I couldn't sleep. And then 3 weeks after he died, it was my birthday, and I was waking up, and it was sunrise. And I hear Billy clear, really clearly, his voice. He had a very particular voice, very resonant and deep. And I hear Billy calling my name. Annie, Annie, it's me, it's Billy, get up. And really, Jim, I thought I was sleeping. I was sure I was dreaming. And I'm like, wow, Billy, you know, you're dead. You can't be here. I'm dreaming. And then he said, no, Annie, you're not dreaming. Get up. Get a notebook and write down what I'm saying. So then as I'm walking across the floor, I realize I'm not dreaming. And he starts describing, the first thing that he did was comfort me and tell me that now everything was okay for him. It wasn't cruel anymore. He was floating through this beautiful, divine universe with healing, compassionate, silvery energy all around him, and that death wasn't as serious as we all thought it was, and it was really wonderful, and that we would meet again. And while he was speaking to me, the atmosphere that he was describing, this beautiful healing energy, came along with his voice. And now for the first time since he died, I felt a great sense of relief and comfort while he was speaking. But then, of course, afterwards, I thought, I must be going a little crazy. I must, somehow my mind made this up to make me feel better, because my brother's not speaking to me from another dimension. So I was extremely skeptical after it happened.
Well, I think that a lot of people out there listening, I mean, I think that our audience is a little more open to these things and a little more to take it on face value, that you saw what you saw and you heard what you heard. But I'm sure there's a contingent out there that says, Annie, you know, all my sympathies in the world with you, but you were obviously imagining that. What has happened over the years that have kind of gotten you away from that way of thinking and you into believing this is reflective of reality?
Yeah. You know, pretty much for the whole time, what would happen is he would show up and dictate, and then while he was doing it, I was in the experience and I didn't really have doubts. And then afterwards, for a really long time, maybe a year, you know, I would just think, nah, I don't know what this is, but this can't be the truth. But I think it was the second time he came, he told me that he was going to give me proof that this wasn't just my imagination, because he knew, of course, that I was doubting. And he did. He gave me a series of what's called evidentiary after-death communications, which means that he told me things that I had no way of knowing that turned out to be correct every time. So he involved my friends. He insisted I tell them things. I had no idea what they meant. And their reaction was always, how did you know that? So after several of these things, there remained no doubt in my mind that these could not be coincidences, that something real was going on. And truthfully, if those events had not happened, I never would have published my book. Never. I take this responsibility very seriously.
I want to get to the deep meaning here of our lives and what kind of things he's revealed. But I'm going to ask, now I'm going to ask kind of the questions that everybody wants to know, you know,
sure.
What's going to happen when we die? What's it like to die? Where do we go? Is there a heaven? Is there a hell? Is it reincarnation? Some of the more, I hate to say kind of surface level questions, but it's a natural question. We're the one thing that we all have in common, Annie, everybody listening to this, we're all going to die. So we're all headed towards the same destination. I know that can be depressing, but we're all headed in that direction. So I think if everybody tells the truth, even people who are non-believers or atheists or whatever, they really want to know. So you have this pipeline. What did Billy tell you about all of this?
Yes. Well, I think the best thing and the most important thing is that we're all headed towards being closer to the divine. So the next level, and there are many levels to the next level, is a level where, as he says, the divine or God or whatever you want to call it is obvious there.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question that God or the divine exists. And that changes everything. And then the other thing is that the divine is not the same as the human mind. So whoever you are, you're going to be understood and known, and you're going to receive unconditional love in the next level because God is much better than we are. And I think one of the very surprising things for me is that once you go through the door of death, you're really going on an evolutionary journey. When we're on Earth, we go through circumstances and we change. Life is really about change. It's like Shakespeare's plays, right? What are they really about? They're about circumstances that change us. Well, when you go through the door of death, you're still going through circumstances that change you. And you're going through many, many different realms. And in a way, you change more than you do on Earth. The difference is, it's all benign. It's all good. You're in the hands of this all compassionate, all loving intelligence. And you know that everything there is in your favor. And you get to, you know, you really do get to see your loved ones. It's not just a fantasy to make you feel better. You know, we all think, oh, you know, we're taught this fantasy. After you die, you're going to get to see the people you've missed. But what if that's not a fantasy? What if that's really true? How would that change your life today? And then you also meet higher beings. And what the higher beings do, or one of the things that the higher beings do, is they love you. They love you in a way that isn't really available on this earth. Because no matter how much love you receive here, it's never as complete and beautiful as the love that you'll get in the next dimension. And as you receive that kind of nourishment and love, your soul, because now in the next dimension, your soul transforms. And that's why Billy says, and I know this is very controversial, and sometimes it's hard for me to say because I don't really feel like I'm an authority. I'm just reporting right what Billy has told me, is, you know, this whole idea of punishment in the next realm is not the truth, because punishment does not transform people. And the whole idea is to bring everybody back to the light. And so we're all headed towards the light. And on the other side, it's a journey closer and closer to the source of the divine light.
This is a big question coming up. It's a big one.
Okay.
So we go back and we go to the divine light. But why did we ever leave to begin with? Why are we here?
Why are we on Earth?
Yes.
Okay.
So I told you it was a big one.
No, that's a good one. I love these things. I love them. I'm very philosophical. And of course, you know, this is everything that Billy has told me. These are not my own ideas. So I want to be clear about that.
Okay.
He says that the truth is, no matter how you search, no matter how much you think about it, you will never completely understand what we're doing on Earth. So if somebody tells you we're doing A, we're doing B, we're doing C, it's much deeper than that. You can't even explain it in human terms, okay? But it is part of a learning evolutionary journey. It isn't a punishment for something you've done wrong. It's something that you've chosen when your soul to come here and do, and certain lessons that you're meant to go through. Now, I know, like, people, you know, some people go through very, very, very difficult things. Billy did. He went through horrible things. The end of his life was really, really difficult and filled with pain. And I think one of the reasons he went through that was so that he could understand and write this book and people can relate to him who go through tough things. And his answer is that our souls, our real souls, they don't fear the temporary suffering of Earth. That whatever they're learning here or doing here, they don't mind the suffering because they know they're eternal and that in eternity, it's all good. And then he adds, which I really love, but that doesn't mean you're supposed to enjoy your suffering. You know what I mean? Some people say, like, you know, if you suffer, just look at it as a gift, or, you know, that's not really part of the plan. Part of the plan is you're supposed to enjoy pleasure. You don't have to be grateful for the pain. But I think that, you know, part of that lesson, and part of that lesson for me is, you know, he says, like, Earth is a place of light and shadow. And you don't have to wait for it to always be light to enjoy yourself. So I've learned from Billy that I'm always waiting for my life to be so-called perfect so that I could enjoy it. But I've learned that, you know, I could enjoy it anyway. There are always things to enjoy. And one quote from the book that's one of my favorite is that life is a divine, mysterious impulse to be tasted and then released. It's like, have your experiences. You don't always have to know why. You know, live them. Live it. Enjoy yourself as much as you can. That's
a pretty good lesson. I like that.
You like that? Is that an okay answer?
That's a very okay answer. Now, here's a question. I've heard it said, and I've read somewhere, I know it's a well-known, just because somebody's life ends, that a relationship between two people doesn't necessarily end, just a life has ended. So today, does your relationship with Billy continue? Does he still talk to you? And in what form does he come? Is it just his voice? Is it, you know, full body apparition?
Yes.
What do you see?
Yes, we're still in communication. It's not as intense as when he was writing his book with me. I feel him around. I hear him. I don't really see him. But I very much feel his presence. And at this point, I believe it because of what's happened. And then take, for example, my mother who died after Billy. Because I had the Billy experience, I was very, very aware of her presence after she died. And she comes and goes. And I think something really important about this for people to know, because people have written me about this, is that as a person goes through their own journey on the other side, they can be in more than one place at a time. So even though at this point Billy is really, really deep into the afterlife because he's not being reincarnated, he's not coming back, there's a part of him that could still reach out to me. You know, and I think that one of the important things when we have a relationship with someone on the other side is not that they need to speak with us, because Billy had a very special job. He's not really here for me. He's here for everyone to give them this information. But I think that the thing that I treasure, like with my mom, who doesn't really speak to me much, I mean, I had a few dreams, is like they can bring this lovely energy into your life, this beautiful love, this feeling of protection and comfort. It's not like they could necessarily change your life, although that happens sometimes. And I tell people who don't feel it coming from the other side to reach out to the person. Don't just wait for them to come. Like, I have this wonderful story. This girl told me her father was an army man, and he was never super affectionate when he was alive, and he died when she was, I think, in her late 20s. And when he died, she realized how much he really did love her in his own way. And so she would play the song, "You Are the Wind Beneath My Wings," for him day after day, right after he died. Like, right. "Daddy, this is for you." And then one day, months later, she was having a really hard day, and she was in her car, and she put on the radio, and that song came on, and she knew somehow it was him. Now, I mean, that's the other thing about getting signs from the other side. It's like, if you told someone else, okay, so, you know, I thought it was my father. I knew it was my father. To them, it would just seem like a coincidence. But when that happens to you, and believe me, it happens to many, many, many people, you just know in your heart that it's that person bringing you love. Yes.
You don't know it, but I had that exact same experience with the song on the radio. It was a very obscure song, too. And my brother, who passed away, coming back from his funeral, we happened to be flipping through the stations, and a very obscure song from an artist who is relatively obscure for the radio came on, and I had the same reaction. I actually wrote a little story about it in my first book, so I know exactly what you're talking about.
Oh, I love that. And you know, you just know that it can't be. You know, it just can't be.
Well, it was funny because it was almost comical, because my wife and I looked at each other at the same time and basically say, "Are you," and I won't say the word, "blanking me?" We had exactly the same reaction.
Exactly the same reaction. And you know, this happens to people and they kind of poo-poo it. Like another story with two people, their mother had died, these two sisters, and they were going through her things, and then all of a sudden they looked at each other because both of them suddenly smelled her perfume.
Mm-hmm.
And they looked at each other and they said, "Do you smell that?" And it wasn't coming from anywhere. It wasn't like somebody suddenly sprayed perfume in the room. And so, you know, Joseph Campbell says that since the beginning of time, people have a belief in the afterlife, and it has a lot to do with these communications. And I think it's really, really good to reach out, or if you get a feeling, an intuition, like you did in the car, you just knew, right? And they're telling us, you know, "I still love you. I still exist. I exist on the other side of the curtain, and we will meet again."
Well, that's one of the most heartening things for me, because I talk to a lot of people on these programs. A lot of people say, "Well, you will continue on, and you will take a different form." But I've always wanted like the big family picnic, you know, it's kind of like we all get together and say, "Whew, was that a ride? And I'm here now and I'm with you and we could catch up." I mean, I've always, now maybe what's in store is way better than that, but that's kind of my ideal scenario, just a family picnic where we get reacquainted and join up with each other. That's kind of my version of heaven.
Yes. And Billy says that that is the first thing that happens because, you know, your ideal version of heaven happens in what he calls the super world. And you do have family reunions and you do get to see your loved ones and your pets. But all that love will go forward with you also as you go into the light. You know, like the love took the form of those people here on earth. And when you first go to the next world, the love takes that form. But, you know, sometimes Billy, you know, there are points where Billy's like floating through the universe and he's being like nourished by beautiful lights and, you know, godly lights. And people are saying, well, you know, but he's not with his relatives. And I'm like saying, yeah, but you don't understand. He's with God. It's like, right. It's not an either or.
You get to have the familial love and then you get something on a totally different plane.
You do. And even though it's not something you experience on earth, what did Billy say? You know, whatever he thought God was while he was alive, however good he thought God was, if you took every universe and you lined it up in a row, how good the divine really is compared to what you think is greater than the distance from the first universe to the last. It's just incredibly amazing that we can't even imagine how that love is. So, yeah, you get to see, you know, you will get to have that picnic and you will get to have more.
Now, it would seem to me that if you're on the other side, not in any hurry to find out, but if you're on the other side and you know that your loved ones, your friends, your family are kind of struggling with this, well, what happened to my loved one and what's going to happen to me? It'll be a little frustrating on the other side because he'd kind of be like, hey, it's going to be okay. I'm assuming that was part of the motivation for Billy to reach out to you.
It was very comforting to know that he's okay. And I'll say that even though grief is extremely strong, and, you know, there's Billy's book, there are other books out there these days about, you know, near-death experiences, and even though when you lose a loved one, it can be so sad and so extraordinarily painful. When you really believe, really, really, really believe that you will see them again and that the love is still there, it does take the edge off of your grief. And grief is so strong that just taking the edge off is a lot. It's a lot. I get letters, emails really, all the time from people who say, oh my God, you brought me so much comfort. I feel so much better. Thank Billy. You know, and it's just helps to know that it's real, and that you could feel them still, even though you don't have them here, you could feel them still.
You know, it's we've had a great time talking here, and I've really appreciated it. Before we go, I would like you to tell us kind of maybe your final closing thoughts for folks, and then we'll give you opportunity to see where people can find the book and find all the information about your work, any forthcoming books and so forth.
I think that the most important thing to realize is that if we're less afraid of dying, you'll have a much better life. If there really is a soul, if there really is a doorway and we go on, it will change the way you view everything.
Well, that's very profound and, you know, quite a statement, because I think that a lot of us and those who have, I lost some very close relatives last year. So I know that, you know, I've talked to a lot of people about the afterlife for about 9 years now. But in the last year or so, it's taken on a lot more reality. My mom passed, my brother passed. So I think I could speak for those people that those are very, very reassuring thoughts. Annie, where can people go if they want to learn about everything that you're doing, this book, any future projects?
Yes, go to afterlifeofbillyfingers.com And please visit Afterlife of Billy Fingers on Facebook, because we have something like 80,000 people on the page. And just a year, you know, we have like wisdom from Billy teamed with pictures and all kinds of conversations about the other side. And I love the page. I put a lot of energy into that page. And the book's available on Amazon and iTunes, Barnes & Noble, and also on Facebook and on the website. You could download a free chapter and see what all of this is really about.
Well, she's not kidding. I just went to the page and liked it, by the way, and it has 80,600 likes. So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Annie Kagan, thank you for joining us today.
It's been my pleasure, Jim.
And thank you for joining us today on the Paranormal Podcast. And I hope that you'll get a chance to navigate over to jimherold.com and jimherold.net to check out the new layout. I think you'll like it. Also, while you're over at jimherold.com, don't forget to sign up for my free newsletter. And I think that you will enjoy that as well. So thank you so much, and we will talk to you next time on the Paranormal Podcast. Have a great week, everybody. Bye-bye. Now for the legal disclaimer. We do not accept money from publishers or content producers in exchange for interviews. However, as with most media outlets, in the majority of cases, we do receive complimentary copies of books and DVDs that we feature on our podcasts. Your purchases of books, DVDs, and other items via our Amazon.com links benefit Jim Harold and JimHarold.com and help us continue our programming. The sponsor messages you hear on the programs are paid endorsements, although we really do like them. For the full disclaimer, go to jimherold.com, and thanks for listening.